Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
And here's Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. Fakes once, fakes twice, gives to Belly. 35-foot three for the win. Nemanja Bjelica.
We deserve this win, man.
When we're done, we go chop it up, eat, right. Golf, whatever you want to do. Before these 48 minutes, I ain't about them games.
Welcome back to another episode of the King's Pulse Podcast. My name is Brendan Nunes. Got Rich Ivanowski on here, as we always do. How's it going, Rich? How you doing, man?
Deeply depressed. I don't know. None of this was getting to me earlier, but yeah, man, it's tough. It's tough to, everything's been a disaster for the Kings, and I think it really hit home just realizing that they're probably going to lose Harry Giles as well, and just watching him play. Like, there's so little to watch these games for, to be honest with you. Like, you can watch for Daquan Jeffries, see what he's got in his bag. You could try to watch for Justin James and Kyle Guy, but you wouldn't see them because they're not getting playing time.
So ridiculous.
Man, it's a waking nightmare, I'd say.
Yeah, really is. I mean, kind of what you touched on briefly there, like, these games don't matter. Why are you not getting the rookies' minutes? Like, you're sitting Fox because these games don't matter. How do you not look towards Justin James, Kyle Guy? Yeah, like you're saying, the Harry thing's obviously frustrating and been frustrating and going to be frustrating until the day where he finally does sign with a different team. And for me, like, looking at the Western Conference, like, I see a way that every other one of these teams at the bottom gets better, and I don't really see that for the Kings. Like, they legitimately could be the 15th worst team in the Western Conference next year.
I think they should be favorites to be the worst team in the Western Conference next year. Yeah, I mean, only teams below them at this point are the Warriors, who are obviously bouncing back, getting back multiple superstars healthy, and the Timberwolves, who, you know, have two all-stars, two young all-stars, and two high draft picks this season. I would say the odds makers will put them at the bottom.
Yeah, I think reasonably. I mean, yeah, and the teams they're rubbing shoulders with, obviously, Memphis has a lot of promising young talent that's going to improve similarly to Phoenix and the Pelicans. And then San Antonio, I mean, you just trust the coaching of that team compared to coaching that's working in Sacramento. You put out a piece recently at the Sac Bee touching on how there isn't really an identity of this team. And I remember doing a piece on the different teams in the Atlantic division going into this year. And the Suns were a team I wrote on as, okay, Sacramento has their identity, and now Phoenix is the team that just really needs to find that. And that's the stage that this team is at. And it's just ridiculous that one of the key parts of, you know, being a young team and growing is having an identity year round. And the fact that they had discovered that being the pace with Jaeger and then completely went away from it is just frustrating beyond belief.
Yeah. And I didn't really include this in the piece because it's not, I mean, I don't know. It's neither here nor there. And I just don't, there's nothing great to say about the Kings, but I think that it's reasonable to say that the identity of a high-paced team is not sustainable, just because, you know, you can't run guys like into the ground necessarily forever. Obviously, you want to you can obviously be like a higher paced team, and you should always be a higher paced team with Fox. But I think it's reasonable to say that's not enough, like long term. With all, like, you can't just focus the team around that. It is a little bit gimmicky, and it's fine to have a gimmick for a few years as you work something else out. But unfortunately, what Walton's done is like he's removed that identity. And I think obviously I'm speculating, but I think his intention was to change that identity, remove that identity, and bring some other identity in. And he like removed that one, but didn't replace it with anything in particular at all.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I don't think it's like long-term sustainable, especially like playoff success if you're talking about pace. But I mean, yeah, the Kings being a team that are just really fiending to make the playoffs in itself. And yeah, the fact that it was not replaced with any sort of identity that the team seemed to latch onto or anything like that, obviously really didn't go over well for Sacramento. And you kind of just briefly at the end mentioned a couple potential routes that they could go with an identity. Did you have one that you kind of lean towards or anything?
I mean, honestly, not really. Like, and maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm like offering excuses by saying that the fast pace isn't sustainable and not offering a good alternative, because, you know, there isn't an obvious one. But there, like, I think what I was trying to get at just by going through some scenarios is just that whatever identity you choose, it's going to sacrifice certain players on the roster. Like, I don't think that this group as a unit could really have an identity. Like, the pieces are just so kind of strange and haphazard together. You do have a logjam with Bogdanovich and Hield. As much as I'd like them to play together or like one to accept a bench role, I really don't see it happening. It's just those two players are going to be tough to they're both going to want that spot, that starting two guard. And then, you know, Marvin Bagley isn't a great shooter, and neither is De'Aaron Fox. So like those two, I don't even know how great those two will work together, you know, in the long term. Maybe they can fit together good if you just surround them with shooting. Just like everyone else on the team can shoot basically, but then Rashawn Holmes is this breakout. So like now you're looking at like arguably, you know, three of your best players, three of your four or five best players are very limited shooters. That's problematic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think, you pointed out well, as you said there and in the piece that, yeah, the roster construction they're working with, I mean, it's hard to pick an identity, and I probably would lean towards just surrounding Fox with some shooting and going full in on Fox being your guy. Like, I think at this point it's very reasonable to question if you should consider Bagley and your long-term team building. And at this point, I mean, with the team really, like we said, probably the favorites understandably to be the worst team in the West next year, I mean, my draft philosophy was definitely looking for a high floor guy. And, you know, honestly, maybe just these 8 games in the bubble like changed that a bit for me, where I'd be looking for an upside guy. Like, I don't know if a high floor Sadiq Bey sort of thing is ever going to really raise where this team is going to be able to go in regards to making the playoffs. Like, maybe you do prefer a Patrick Williams. And then, like, just trying to think of the path of this team improving, that, you know, it would just have to be in the lottery the year after. Like, the only way you're getting additional talent on this roster, high level talent, is through trades or the draft. And yeah, I mean, the easiest one being, like, luckily Sacramento does have their future draft picks, and the draft, not this upcoming one, but the year after, is regarded as a pretty good one from my understanding. So like that's the way of improvement, I guess. But that's another year out for this Kings team that hasn't made the playoffs in 14 years.
Sundays are coming back in the NFL. With NFL SundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Plus Red Zone and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. Never miss your favorite teams and favorite players. No matter where you live, NFL SundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. Visit NFL SundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE.
Yeah, it's really tough. I mean, they're not one role player away. They're not a Sadiq Bey away from being a playoff team, I think. It would be nice to just get a win in the draft. So, like, as far as a Sadiq Bey type, that's, you know, I mean, just to get a win out of the draft, like a real rotation player, maybe that does feel like a win, but their cap space is shot. Yeah, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is playing about as well as he can, like, reasonably be asked to play. Maybe he has more, you know, another jump in him, another step forward. Maybe the three ball comes around. Maybe his usage just keeps ramping up to the point where, like, we've seen him, whatever it is, 25, 26, 27 points a game or whatever in the bubble. You know, maybe he can do something close to that for an entire season. You know, they've maybe got some trade pieces. This is secondhand, but I think – I forget who was saying this, but they said they heard on the Carmichael Dave show that Sam Amick came on there, and they both agreed that Buddy's time is probably up. So maybe they can do something with him as a trade piece. But his value is obviously – in the tank. Like, I mean, and just think about it. They didn't have to pay him. We supported him getting a new contract, but I mean, just think if they hadn't had done that, he'd be a restricted free agent right now. They probably would have saved a lot of money, especially with the situation right now with, you know, loss of income from COVID and all that around the league. I mean, like what contract offers are getting? Maybe like more like $15 million. Maybe lower. I don't know.
Yeah. And at the contract at the time, I actually was pretty happy with, but then when you roll him out there in a position you're asking of him that obviously is unideal for him and just makes him look even worse and less valued to the Sacramento organization, let alone any other teams that might be interested, that just worsens any particular value that you would get there. And, kind of like back to who you're bringing in the draft, whatever free agency, I think it kind of goes back to that identity. Like, you need to set what you're looking for in your team as a whole, so that way you can bring in the right guys to fill those roles in order to fulfill what you're looking for. But you have to know what that is.
Yeah. I mean, they do need another star. And if Marvin Bagley isn't going to be that, yeah, I mean, I don't see that at pick 11 if the Spurs or Suns, you know, make the jump above them. I just don't. I mean, unless they're moving up in the lottery, and then to be frank, this draft really is not good, even in the top four. So yeah, I mean, what do you think about like a tank year? Obviously, it wouldn't be intentional, and obviously this team, like this franchise, is opposed to that. Like they really haven't done that. Like even late in years, that's not the way that the Kings operate. They maybe it's the, you know, the fact that so many coaches have been fired that it's just desperate, you know, Kings coaches are desperate to win any game, even ones that don't matter. Like in this bubble, I think it is meaningful for the, not only the coach, but for executives to be able to look at the bubble and point to it and be like, hey, we went 3-5. You know what I mean? Even though it was horrifically embarrassing and maybe they win two games against, you know, skeleton crews, you know, 3-4 stars sitting out or whatever against the Pelicans or Lakers, just being able to point to that number, it's like it weirdly probably does mean a lot to them. And that's just, I don't know that I could see them doing it for a whole year. And I don't know, would you even support that? Like, you know, would you support them trying to finish and not try? I don't know how you'd put it, but would you support them going like all development, like, you know, playing younger guys, trying to shed maybe Corey Joseph, really trying to just give tons of minutes to the youngest guys on the team and ending up with a top three pick in a really stacked 2021 draft?
I mean, I think that long term, like, that's your way of really becoming a competent roster. Like, you need another guy on the level of Fox. I mean, you really would need a guy above the level of Fox if you're trying to, you know, get out of the first round, second round of the playoffs at some point in your future. But yeah, I mean, as much as it sucks, like you're saying, the way to be doing it would probably be, you know, Joseph and Bielitsa out the door, and yeah, more of your minutes going to a Daquan Jeffries or a Justin James, if those minutes are deserved. And yeah, I mean, I think that, like we've said, they're kind of going to be one of these bottom teams in the West anyways. And being in that eight spot compared to top five fighting for top three could come down to, you know, three more games. Like, the ninth seed in the Eastern Conference has 23 wins. Sacramento still has 30 this year. And they are the 13th team in the West. So, like, you kind of do need to lose a good handful more if you're talking about getting a really high level draft player. And like you're saying, a draft that is being regarded as pretty stacked, especially at the top there. I think that that's probably the best method for Sacramento, considering, you know, even if they roll out the best roster, they're probably not going to win most games.
Yeah, it's just tough. I mean, this draft class is bad. This free agent class is, like, historically bad. I have no idea how they're going to significantly improve. And I also don't know, like, what free agency is even going to look like right now. I mean, just in terms of the coronavirus and everything, I was just thinking about this, like, and this might be a slight hope, of a glimmer of hope that maybe like a Harry Giles would want to stay in Sacramento, is like, is it that desirable, unless you're getting like way more money, is it that desirable to like move your entire life to like a new city right now? I don't even know if, like, I feel like it's going to take more to convince guys to leave. Like, it might be an advantage to keep Bazemore around. It's like, you know, I mean, he's got a family, he's got kids, he's got a wife. I actually don't know if they are all living together in Sacramento or what, but, or around that area, but I don't know. It just seems like a bad time to like try to bring guys in.
Yeah, and, you know, like, obviously I'd be very happy if Giles stuck around, especially after the Kings making that mistake, but even keeping Giles around, like, isn't changing the projection of this team. Like, what, at best, he's a starting, like, a fringe starter, like a fifth best starter sort of thing?
Right, well, I'm not – the reason to keep Harry Giles was never that he's going to be, like – you know, the 1A or 1B to Fox. It's, I mean, there's something to be said, and I'm actually going to write about this for the B tomorrow, but there's something to be said for, like, making a smart business decision to, like, buy goodwill from your fan base. There's just no question that Harry Giles is a fan favorite, and with how little that would have cost them, like, they're going to make that $2 million back in like merchandise, ticket sales, what have you, you know, when tickets can be sold again, and just general goodwill to the team. Like, I feel like that's just another log on the fire of people that really don't trust this front office. There are a lot of people out there that don't trust this front office to make smart decisions. And it's like, I mean, especially when you consider what a roster spot costs, like, at minimum, I mean, you're talking like $1 million to keep a guy around that, like, you know, crowds love him. He, you know, I think, like, from my perception, and maybe my perception is warped because he's a personal favorite of mine, but like, he really does seem to have captured, like, the fan base maybe more than anyone outside of, like, Fox. Like, I feel like people are like hooting and hollering for him, and like, they want his jersey more than, like, even a Bagley, honestly.
Support for the King's Pulse podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over the technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Listen, we all have a time where we have hurt ourselves, or at least been terrified to hurt ourselves. I know I do, trimming below the waist. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team has spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created, and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. This is a premium tool with a battery that lasts up to 90 minutes, works in the shower so you can take care of your business in there if you prefer that. Also has an extremely cool LED light attached to it that illuminates the grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. If you're listening to me speak right now, I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that chunk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KingsPulse at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code KingsPulse, no space, KingsPulse at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code KingsPulse with no space.
Yeah, the games are definitely tough to watch, like we saw tonight, like we're going to see in a couple nights against the Lakers. And yeah, I mean, developing young talent is a spot that I think the fan base can latch onto. And like you're saying, Harry specifically, I think that while he doesn't change the future projection of the team that much, like, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's a mistake that they clearly should not have made. And yeah, even just the fact of keeping the fan base somewhat happy, a thing that they've been so unsuccessful in doing so, even though the Sacramento fan base has been so amazing and loyal to the team. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously something that you totally should have pulled the trigger on. And I mean, there's no reason that Harry Giles shouldn't be on the roster next season. But
I mean, they picked up like Scalabissier and Caleb Swanigan's options last season, like, and then traded them. You know, really for nothing. Like, I mean, like, ridiculous. Why would you not try that? It just seems they'll pick up anyone's option. I don't. It's very confusing to me.
Yeah, I think. What I had heard was something along the lines of like trying to motivate him, not happy with how he came into camp or something. But like, yeah, I mean, there's such a cost to that that he's just gonna walk for like it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. Like you're saying, the options they picked up previously, this just makes no sense in doing.
And we can't buy every line that the team gives us either. Like that's the truth for every single team in the league and every single sport. You know, I mean, you're trying to put a face forward and give a certain pitch about why you're doing what you're doing. And that's another thing that's been tough in the bubble. I feel like a lot of the things that Luke Walton has said in the bubble have been not perceived well. The whole, like, you know, just got to like enjoy this experience thing, and like it's a good learning lesson and stuff. Like, that's not going to cut it with Kings fans. You need to win basketball games, and I don't think they want to hear a lot of the messaging that's coming out of the Kings franchise, and I don't particularly blame them, and I also don't blame the Kings for like trying to put these sorts of positive spins on things. But yeah, I mean, they have to know it's not getting through ultimately.
Yeah, we're just happy to be here was the one that really did it for me. I was like, are you serious? Like, you're just, this is enough, you know, like you're not just gonna try to end this 14-year playoff drought, which obviously, you know, they tried to do it out there, but like Yeah, I mean, that's not the quotes. Like, I would have loved to just see someone from the organization upset with this result.
Yeah, I mean, if your coach and your team is really, really playing badly and getting embarrassed on the court, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, you know, this is unacceptable. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to take accountability, and my players are going to take accountability. We know this isn't good enough. We are going to fix this. You know, we aren't cutting it. I wouldn't mind seeing some fire and some passion and some, I mean, you can get angry. You can get angry if you really come out and just, if you really come out and just look awful. I personally, and this is just how I am, I'd rather you be upset about that than say, like, you know, whatever learning experience.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about that. I want someone to show that they care in a way, you know. And I think that, yeah, I mean, the players shouldn't need to necessarily be like fired up for these 8 games that matter a lot. But, you know, sometimes that's the case. And I think it's on the players somewhat, but then the coaching staff really needs to be the ones to take that into their own hands and be doing something about it. And I just haven't got the impression that that's happening. Yeah, man, I don't know. Where else do you kind of want to take this?
I got nothing to say about the Kings. They don't deserve to have deep analysis of their game. Like, this is they're playing really, really bad. You know, if someone, I don't know, if you're paid to provide analysis, if you're, you know, working the NBC broadcast or the KHDK broadcast, you know, I of course expect you to do that. You're probably going to want to do that. It's your job. But I think that where someone like you and someone like myself is at, we don't have to do that. We don't have to sit here and like break down what's going right and going wrong. There's enough going wrong that it's not worth talking about. This is a lost season. I mean, this is a lost restart of the season. The season is over. I have no interest in like previewing this Los Angeles Lakers game. It doesn't mean anything at all. Yeah, I mean, I the only place that I can go with it is starting to talk about the offseason, and the draft lottery is in 2 weeks. The draft itself is in 2 months. That's where I'll be focusing my energy, to be sure.
Yeah, probably just going to do the same with you here, man. I don't know, like you're saying, no interest in covering this last game or anything, and limited financial room this offseason. At this point, I am rooting for the Suns or Spurs to really be taking that 8th spot and bettering Sacramento's draft odds. Right now, the Blazers are currently in the 8th seed with the Grizzlies, Suns, and Spurs all half a game behind them. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting next couple of days. Phoenix Suns, man, got to say it sucks watching them just do so great for themselves, 7-0 in this bubble, a team that we had completely written off coming in, at least I did myself, thinking they really didn't have much of a shot here and just have gone crazy. Look at that inspired basketball, even when it doesn't look like you have much of a chance. Team that probably wasn't just happy with being there.
What's crazy, yeah. And what's crazy is they could go 8-0 and Memphis could go 1-7 and they could still not make the playoff, the play-in game. So, but yeah, I mean, like, just that, like, that's not a Pyrrhic victory. That's not a moral victory. That's a real victory. 8 wins or 7 wins in a row in the bubble, that is a real victory. That shows real growth, and it shows a real preparedness for the task at hand that the Kings haven't been able to do.
Yeah. Yeah, disappointing to say the least. Got anything else you want to throw in here, man, before we wrap it up?
No, that's it. I mean, do you want to get back to draft profiles going forward? I mean, that's all. Yeah, that's all. Hope springs anew each offseason, I suppose. I don't know how hopeful you can get. I mean, you know, there's technically possibilities that, you know, say OKC tears it down and trades their veterans, and maybe Greg Popovich retires after like an amazing run, and maybe he makes the playoffs and makes a crazy run. And
it's still not the 8 seed though.
And maybe he hangs it up, and then yeah, maybe you get a little bit lucky. Maybe you move up in the lottery or whatever. And I don't know, you know, that, I mean, like it's really hard to squint and figure it out, but you know, 1% is still, you know, maybe there's that chance. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's really, we're really looking down the line. We're really looking at least 2 or 3 years down the line. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the clear method of improvement that I see is not even this draft, but the next one, when next season, the Kings just really probably being a bottom like 8 team. And sucks to say, but I don't know, because how many times have you restarted a rebuild? Like, this is just a never-ending rebuild for the Kings. But yeah, you know, everybody, we're going to keep up some coverage here, probably switch to draft stuff. The guys at the Kings Herald are going to be constantly covering everything that's going on with this team throughout the offseason and this last game here in the bubble. Definitely go subscribe to their Patreon to support some local Sacramento coverage. They're doing great work there. And subscribe to this podcast if you enjoyed. You'll hear from us again here in the next couple of days.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball and basketball is finally kicking off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champion, we'll go with 6-time NBA champion, Robert Horry. See what they had to say and what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.